Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the R word equals recession when we come back. Hey, we Americans talk a lot about private business, don't we? And we use terms like private ownership and private property and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business here in America being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by government agents and agencies like OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, zoning and planning, and the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that you can do. The first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, call and order my free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. And remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one for yourself right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us a free, and ask for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org to request your free general law CD package. Hey, last time we were talking about the International Forecaster, and I was pumping you up here to buy a subscription. The guy that puts out the International Forecaster is called, his name is Robert Chapman. He's an old man like me. He's probably older than I am. And he's an old government spook. I think he was Army Intelligence or something on that order. That's the rumor I've got. I'm not a close buddy of his by any stretch of the imagination. But I like to give credit, you know, to somebody that's got his head screwed on straight and is trying to tell us what's going on in the world. And he's not the only guy that's out there trying to tell us the truth and tell us what's going on, but he's one of, and he's probably the biggest and the best. You know, not that I want to run anybody else down. You know, Mugambo's a great guy. Gotta love him like a brother. But Mugambo puts out a free 6-page newsletter, and you ought to subscribe, or you ought to avail yourself of the freebies, for crying out loud. It doesn't cost you anything. All you got to do is download it off of the Kitco webpage. It's kitco.com, KITCO.com, and then, you know, you're looking for this guy, Richard Doughty, or the Mugambo, and he's a focused newsletter writer on inflation. If you want to know where inflation is, where it's been, where it's going, how it's acted historically, and so on, I can't think of anybody that can tell you the straight skinny on inflation like Doughty can. He's an economist. And he cites from guys, you know, like Peter Schiff and Don McIlvaney and the privateer. And that's what I said last time. You know, oftentimes you'll read a paragraph that was just lifted out of somebody else's newsletter, maybe rewritten a little bit, you know, to avoid plagiarism. But then, you know, he's trying to give you this, this piece of information out of China or Japan or someplace. And so last time we were reading here on page 1 and 2 of the U.S. market here in the International Forecaster, which costs money. You got to pay for it. And it's 6 cents a page. And I said, I can't think of anything that you can buy for 6 cents a page that can give you more straight from the shoulder, honest to God, truth and facts that's going on around us that contradicts Katie and Brian. Not that I can think of. Now, the newsletters that you get are out here for the purpose of informing investors. And I'm sitting here saying, hell, it's the best news source that you can get in the country. Not only do they report on the economy and report on the stocks and bonds and gold and silver and so on, but they're also reporting on news events that are going on that the mainstream news media totally ignores. They don't say a word. I pointed out this to you last time. No, nobody on the 6 o'clock news is describing the meltdown in the subprime lending market. 20 major subprime lenders have already gone bankrupt. 20 nationwide. You've got foreclosures that are on a scale now that are depression scale foreclosures. Numbers are coming out now that haven't occurred since 1929. And then the numbers are all bad. They exceed all of the excesses of 1929. Katie hasn't been reporting on that. Neither is Lou Dobbs. Not that I want to take anything away from Katie or Lou. They're out there doing their thing, and they're reporting about 75% of the truth. Now, the problem is 25% of it is error. And what happens when we mix truth and error together, we get deception. And so if you're just the average plumber like me, you know, the average deception, you know, just kind of swallows us up. And then we don't know what in the hell to believe. Now, we do know this. You can't believe the weatherman and you can't believe the president. Now, we know that for a fact. I pointed that out to you last time. Weathermen are always right because they say, well, there's a 90% chance of rain tomorrow, and so they're always right, whether it rains or not. But in this case, did you notice here, Chapman stepped right out there and he said, we don't know at what speed, but the results are undeniably assured. Yeah, I'd say if we do the same things that we were doing in the 1920s, which resulted in the depression of the 1930s, and we're doing all of those things in the 1990s, and then we exacerbate them by stretching them out in the early 2000s, I think we can get the same results that we got in the 1930s. That's my take on it. I think we can duplicate that 1930 experience. Maybe we can even exceed the 1930s, because all of the numbers that were extant in the 1920s leading up to the Great Depression of the 30s are in place today in 2007 in spades, and they've exceeded them all. In fact, all the newsletter writers say, we haven't seen that since 1931. We haven't seen that since 1935. We haven't seen that since 1928. Those are the numbers that are coming up. Like I said, you don't get that on the 6 o'clock news, but you do get it out of the newsletters. And so at least you could do, if you really are a penny pincher, you know, then the least you could do is get the free newsletters off of Kitco. Now, I wanted to point out that I have never read a Magombo that I didn't learn something from, and I'm an old man. There is never an issue that I've seen in the International Forecaster, the Money Changer, or the Privateer, or Magombo that I haven't learned something that I didn't know before. And I'm pretty sure that all of you young kids out there, you know, you young whippersnappers in your 20s and 30s, you're going to learn a couple of things that you didn't learn in college. You know that? And, you know, I think you'll find out that that college professor didn't know quite everything. He was smart, and he had letters after his name, and he was tenured in his professorship, but he didn't quite have his finger on the button. Now, Chapman goes on, he says this. He says, housing lenders, banks, and brokerage firms knew that the mortgage bubble would end in collapse. But short-term profits were more important than a lasting, healthy, natural system. So profits on subprime loans are 25 to 100% more costly than a standard mortgage for the borrower. Thus, it didn't take much for all concerned to participate. Short-term profits. end up in long-term headaches. Hey, listen, that party last night was great. And boy, the booze was just flowing and the girls were all hot. But hey, listen, you know, today's a new day and now it's hangover time. Now it's time to pay. Sometimes it's AIDS, sometimes it's herpes, sometimes it's VD. By the way, did you know that 25% of our teenagers now have a sexually transmitted disease? They call them STDs. 25%. It's one out of four. Well, I can remember going to school and we all wanted to kiss the girls. And I would have kissed any girl in my graduating class. The last time I went to a class reunion, I wasn't sure I wanted to shake hands with them. Boy, have times changed, huh? I'd be real careful about those sexually transmitted diseases, kids. Now he says, you ask, what's next? Well, by the end of the year, builders are going to start going under, that is, going bankrupt, and that will complicate issues even further. In just 6 years, Alan Greenspan, in collusion with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, created $15 trillion in new mortgage generations. That was three times the originations of the previous 5 years. Did you get that? In the past 5 years, we put out three times more new mortgages than we did in the previous 5 years. Remember I said all these numbers are getting bigger and scarier? Now the reason was to keep the economy out of recession or depression, to allow the bankers to make outrageous amounts of money, and to create enough equity for cash out financing and equity loans to keep the economy afloat as the population dealt with falling wages and higher inflation. So now you ask, well, what's next? Well, a New York Times CBS News poll in February found that 85% of respondents thought it was not acceptable for doctors to be paid by drug companies to comment on prescription drugs. They said such payments would influence the decisions that doctors made about patient care, and that is a strong mandate the medical profession should be listening to. Now, that's a news article there. And as you go through the International Forecaster from time to time, it changes from paragraph to paragraph and gives you a new factual piece of news. You get the housing bubble, and then the next thing he comes up with, he says, well, did you know that doctors, according to a poll here, that doctors ought not to be getting paid by the drug companies to recommend drugs that they recommend or prescribe for you. Did you know that doctors get paid for that? Well, now you do. So the next time you go to your doctor and your doctor says, oh, I got this neat drug for you. I think you ought to try this. You want to remember that the drug company is paying him a commission for that. It's kind of like this newsletter. So let me just tell you, I don't get paid by these newsletter writers to hawk their wares on the radio. If I did, I would be like the doctor who's getting paid by the drug manufacturer to hawk this particular drug. It would be like insider trading. It would be the equivalent of, not limited to, but the equivalent of being a paid assassin. So I just wanted you to know that I don't get paid that way. But as a news reporter, I report on facts. I report on news, and I have to have a source of news and information. So the newsletter writer is important to me to give me the grist that I need to report on. And then a little twist in this is if I got paid enough money, learned this from my broker. He said, you never want to risk more than you can afford to lose. And he said, that's because everybody has a price. I suppose that you could come to me and you could say, well, Gordon, if you would say this on the air, we'd pay you $100. And then you could convert me into a whore. Well, I'm not a whore, so I wouldn't do it for $100. Well, would you do it for $200? Well, I don't know. Maybe I would tell that lie on the air for $200. Well, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, how about $400? And then $800, and then $1,000, and $5,000, and $10,000 is George Gordon for sale. I had a guy one time, he sent me a package of money. It was $35,000. $350 bills in a plain brown envelope. You know, one of those big 8.5 by 11 envelopes, you know. There was so much money in there, you could smell it through the envelope. You know that money smell? I told my secretary, I said, well, hell, this thing's got money in it. You know, I could smell it. And so I opened the package, counted it all out, and it's $35,000. I called this, he was an old man, sent it to him, he wanted to buy gold with it. No, I said, I called him up on the phone, I said, you fool, you blind, you nitwit, I ought to steal this from you. He said, ah, Mr. Gordon, I trust you. Well, I know you wouldn't steal from me, an old man. And I said, why, you old fool, don't you know I'm a thief? Well, I've been a thief all my life, and a liar on top of it. I said, well, in this case, I'm gonna pass this on to the gold broker. I'm not gonna steal your $35,000 because I got a higher price than that. I said, but for God's sake, don't send me $350,000 the next time, or $3,500,000, or you're gonna be bitterly disappointed. And I guess, boys and girls, nobody's ever offered me enough money yet. But that doesn't mean that I'm not for sale. I don't know what the hell a congressman goes through. You know, you take this guy Cunningham out in California, you know, he was a war veteran. I mean, this guy was a decorated war veteran from Vietnam. And he was elected to Congress. He went up to the House of Representatives, and pretty soon, as time went on, you know, the people back home, they had a lot of confidence in him. And so they kept voting him back in. Pretty soon he gets seniority. He's sitting on the committee. He's a Republican. The Republicans are in control. And pretty soon here comes the defense contractor along and says, say, we'd like this legislation enacted so that it will benefit this defense industry. And Cunningham said, no, no, I can't do that. And pretty soon they said, well, we'll give you a campaign contribution. Then he said, well, thank you very much. And then pretty soon they said, well, how would you like to have a little extra money, you know, for you and the wife and the kids? And pretty soon he took a $1 million bribe, and pretty soon he got caught. And pretty soon it demonstrates what I just explained to you, that every man has his price. Katie Couric has her price. Brian Williams has his price. They get paid $several million a year for lying to you. And as soon as they start paying me $several million a year, you need to get real suspicious about what you hear come out of my mouth. That's why old Frank told me, says, hey, George, you never want to risk more than you can afford to lose. That old man shouldn't have sent me $35,000. He should have sent me $5,000 seven times. That's the bottom line. Then if I steal $5,000, then he knows I'm a thief, but he didn't lose it all. We Americans are about to lose it all because we're being lied to. Hey, I don't blame Katie, you know. I mean, she's got to make a living. She's got mortgage payments to pay just like all the rest of us. But hey, listen, at some point in time, shouldn't somebody stand up and say, well, let me tell you where it's coming from and where all this is headed to. The only guy that I know of that we can rely on that's been telling us that for the last 3,000 years is our God. We've been giving him the finger and telling him to go kiss off. We ain't listening to that crap, you know, from Moses. And so we don't mind listening to some lying hypocrite, some false prophet in the pulpit, you know, stand up there and lie to us about Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, but we sure as hell don't want to hear the truth coming out about the Passover or the days of unleavened bread or the Sabbath now, do we? Well, now that carries over, you know, into our everyday affairs, you know, in our business transactions and in our investments. And so now as a nation, we're sitting here with the big R word, you know, as Alan Greenspan, you know, put it. He says, now there's a probability or a possibility that we could have a recession over here. That affects the markets right away when they hear Sir Alan Greenspan. I haven't heard anybody get real excited and change any markets listening to Revelation 6 or Matthew 24 or Deuteronomy 28. Now, have you? All right, let me give you a couple of more factors here. He said Minnesota, Vermont, Maine, West Virginia, California, and District of Columbia have passed laws requiring some level of disclosure of drug company marketing efforts. In Vermont, the state has collected 3 years of data on payments to doctors, but drug makers are allowed to keep records private by declaring them trade secrets. 73% of payments to doctors in 2005 in Vermont were trade secrets. Now, how's that for abuse? The story goes on, but you should be getting the message. All right, so in Vermont, now, who in the hell made this law that permitted these drug companies to call these trade secrets when they're paying bribes openly to doctors to prescribe medicines to you? Who came up with that idea? All right, well, now it's been reported to you, and you heard it first out of the International Forecaster. Now, the next time you go to the doctor and the guy is recommending this, now you're armed, and now you know that, I wonder if this guy's getting paid off to tell me that. Hey, I wonder, you know, like John Swinton, hey, I wonder if I'm getting paid off over here and I'm a puppet that is dancing at the end of my handler's strings. Just two in hell's telling us the truth anyway. I was in court one time, and this judge wanted me to take an oath, you know, and he said, well, raise your right hand, Mr. Gordon, and repeat after me. And I said to the judge, well, judge, what if I raised my left foot and cocked my head to the right? Would that be as good as raising my right hand? He took offense at that. He got real perturbed about that. He said I was a contemptuous fellow and threw me in jail for 5 days. But you know, I got that idea from Jesus. If you want to know where I got the idea, he told us in Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37, that we ought not to be taking oaths. And I thought, well, gee, now that I'm in court, why don't I test this? I did. I tested and found out you go to jail. All right, so I spent 5 days in the slammer. I came back out, and the judge says, hey, did you learn anything from that? And I said, I don't know. Test me. He says, well, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? And I said, no, sir, I do not. He thought that was pretty contemptuous. Threw me in jail for another 5 days. Well, anyway, this case wound its way through the judicial process, and one day I was up in Seattle before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, three-judge panels up there. And this judge, he was reading the transcript, you know, and he looked at me and he said, now, Mr. Gordon, I noticed here that when the judge asked you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, you answered, no, I do not. And he said, why did you answer no? And I said, well, because I'm a pathological liar. And this judge asked me, he said, is that the truth? Now, mull that one over for a minute, kids. Who in the hell's telling us the truth? Well, it ain't George Gordon. I never came on the air and said, you ought to believe me because I'm telling you the truth. I came on the air and said, hey, listen, I'm a pathological liar. On top of that, I'm a thief. The last guy in the world you want to be sending $35,000 in cold hard cash to is George Gordon. Everybody's got his price. It's just that $35,000, you know, isn't my price. You know, I'm a whore, and I'm a liar, and I'm a thief, but, you know, my price isn't that low. Kind of reminded me of this old story. You know, this guy says to this whore on Times Square, he said, hey, would you go to bed with me for $100? And she said, you bet I would. And he said, well, would you go to bed with me for $50? And she said, yeah, I think I would. He said, well, would you go to bed with me for $25? And she said, well, I'd have to think about that. And he said, well, would you go to bed with me for $10? And she said, what kind of a woman do you think I am? And he says, hell, we've already decided what kind of woman you are. We're just haggling over the price. All right, now let's get back here to reality. Now, I wouldn't say, you know, that every word, you know, that comes out of the International Forecaster or out of Magombo is necessarily the gospel truth over here, but it's got a hell of a lead on whatever's in second place on CBS, NBC, or ABC, I'll tell you that. So just in case you were wondering over here about who can we believe, when you get a report over here that your doctors, for instance, are taking bribes from the pharmaceutical companies, and the subprime lenders over here and the banks and the bankers and a lot of these institutions over here have been working hand in glove with your government and your Congress. Do you think that your congressman or representative knows something less than George Gordon the plumber? Hell, those guys are more knowledgeable than I am. They've got better information and better sources than George Gordon's got. The President of the United States gets briefed by the CIA chief every morning at 10 o'clock. Hell, he's got advisors all over the world and spooks all over the world reporting to him, telling him what's going on. He knows more than I do. You know, all I know is what I read in the papers or what I get off the internet, and I report that to you, you know, as best I can. Listen to this. Going back now to, that was an inset to the old doctor thing over here, just giving you a little flavor here for the way Chapman writes. Now he goes back and he wants to tell you a little bit more about the housing market. So he comes back, he says, further to the subprime liquidity party created and funded by the Fed is further proof of complicity in that as guardians of stability of our banking system, they not only didn't try to stop the lending to the totally unqualified, but they actually encouraged it. They were not rebuked at any time for their poor lending practices, and even to this day, the Fed is well aware of every blip in the economy. They knew full well that loans were being made to people who should never have had a loan. Now, did you get that? This whole housing bubble has been created by the Fed with full knowledge of what the ultimate outcome of it was going to be. But we wanted to make you people feel real good. We didn't want you to know that there was a recession back in 2000. So what we're going to do is we're going to prime the pump. We're going to exacerbate all of the errors that we've made in the past. And we're going to stretch this thing out. Well, boys and girls, now the rubber band is stretched out. I'm going to pull it a little bit more. Let's just pull it a little tighter, shall we? All right. Well, now the party is about over. And if you want to know what's going on in the world, let's take a look at another factor over here. Did you know that the Turkish army has invaded bordering regions of northern Iraq, preparing a large-scale operation against the Kurds? How do you think that's going to play out when Turkey invades northern Iraq? And Turkey is moving for membership in NATO. You know, there's a lot of Kurds that live in Turkey. Did you know that? And these Kurds are an ethnic group of people, you know, kind of like Navajo Indians. And these Navajo Indians are on both sides of the border of Arizona and New Mexico. And so, if there was a lot of unrest among the Navajos in New Mexico, don't you think that would make the government over in Arizona a little apprehensive about what in the hell are those Navajos up to? Well, the Kurds over in Iraq, you know, they're sitting up there in the north, and sitting there kind of fat and happy, and they would like to have their own autonomous country, their own sovereignty. And they've been stirring up hate and discontent, or at least the Turks think they have, over the last several hundred years in Turkey. And the Turks aren't about to give up, you know, 10,000 square miles of their real estate in Turkey, or the Iraqis giving up 10,000 square miles of their real estate to create this new Kurdish nation. And so the Turks are over there, kind of sitting on edge, and they've kind of made some incursions into Iraq. Now, what would you think if the Canadians had made some incursions into Montana? Or what would you Canadians think if the Americans were making some incursions into Saskatchewan? What do you think's going to come out of the Turks making some incursions into Iraq? Where do you think that might be headed? Doesn't send any positive signals to me that says, well, gee, I'd like to invest more money in the stock market or something like that. The Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged at 5.25% as we predicted. He goes on and he says, Neil Cavuto, Fox's money guy, a Bush propagandist, put the fear of losing money into his audience due to the witch hunt the Democrats are conducting over the Attorney General scandal. And then the February trading economic indicators made its largest drop since it fell 0.5% in February. It fell 0.5% to a minus 0.3% in January. Colorado led America in foreclosures in 2006, edging ahead in the fourth quarter, where Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan foreclosure numbers for 2006 were Colorado 2.99%, Georgia 2.45%, Nevada 2.43%, Texas 1.95%, and Michigan 1.92%. And for all of the United States, it's 1.09%. Now, you're getting those numbers. Now, you know, you sit there and you look at that and you say to yourself, well, gee, mortgage foreclosures are only 1%. My God, those are all big-ticket items, kids. Those aren't, hey, listen, you're behind $300 on your car payment. That means you're behind on your house payment. That means that we're going to foreclose on this $300,000-$500,000 house, not your $10,000-$20,000-$30,000 car. And here's the kicker. In some of these states, it's up to 2.5%, pushing 3%. Colorado, 2.99%. Now listen, when housing foreclosures reach 3%, that's where they were back in the Depression years. Depression years, when you're getting into numbers like that. And they tell us, hey, that's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because the underlying fundamentals were much worse in this round of the housing bubble than they were in the 1920s or in the 1980s or the 1990s. All right, I've got to give you a reminder here. We're reviewing the International Forecaster. We're talking about the R word, recession. Recession, the politically incorrect word. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the R word, recession. Now, I'm going to pick up a newsletter here called the Mogambo Guru. now that I've covered the International Forecaster. And by the way, if you like to subscribe to the International Forecaster, it's $130 a year, 6.5 cents a page. It's dirt cheap. Never read an issue that I didn't learn something from. If you like to learn, you want information straight from the shoulder, I can't think of a better guy than Bob Chapman. Just go to the website. It's www.theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster.com. It's all one word. Or if you're a snail mail man, you can go to P.O. Box 510-518. That's a long address. That's P.O. Box 510-518. Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. That's 33951-0518. And they tell us here that you got to have that zip code plus 4 in order to get that put into his mailbox. All right, so there's the International Forecaster. Now, let's take a look here at the Mogambo Guru. This guy's pretty funny. He's kind of a comedian. He starts off, he says, "Watching the economic idiocy all around me and the impending collapse of the housing bubble, which has been dubbed by some as the biggest speculative bubble in freaking history. My days are now spent almost exclusively in fear and frenzied activity, mostly in angrily stockpiling gold, silver, oil, ammunition, and these terrific little frozen pizzas that score a bullseye with those of us whose tastes run to yummy pork products. Now, during my spare time, I am compiling long, long lists of people to persecute mercilessly on the way to their well-deserved and handily preordained guilty verdicts when I am finally crowned omnipotent Emperor Mogambo and take over the joint, starting with the horrid Alan Greenspan. Greenspan's insanely irresponsible overcreation of money and credit, while chairman of the Federal Reserve, directly or indirectly caused all of our problems, and as this massive deluge of money worked its way into the prices of things as it must, as there is nowhere else for the money to go. So, I am laboring and grunting and muttering, inflation is going to kill us. Inflation is going to kill us under my breath when, in the midst of the aforementioned labors, I got a funny email. And as a writer of sorts, my sense of humor was partially restored by the runner-up in the 2006 Bull Weir Lytton Fiction Contest. The news, the email read, "I know what you're thinking, punk," hissed Wordy Harry to his new editor. "You're thinking, did he use 6 superfluous adjectives or only 5? And to tell the truth, I forgot myself in all of this excitement. But being as this is English and most powerful language in the world, whose subtle nuances will blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one vital question. Do I feel loquacious? Well, do you feel loquacious, punk?" But soon the levity evaporated, and it was solidly back to downtown Panicsville as the latest bunch of consumer price index stuff from the Labor Department came out, and the February Consumer Price Index rose 0.4%, which was stronger than expected. The Food Index rose 0.8% in February, which follows a 0.7% increase in January. This is horrifying. This is beyond horrifying. Let me pause here and put my famous mark in the margin and compute that out for you on my famous Sharp EL1197G3 Texas Instrument calculator. I don't have a real computer, I just have a pretend one. But if you had 0.8% times 12, you'd have 9.6% inflation. Let me, as Magumbo would say, as I'm recovering. Let me put that in perspective. The government, every once in a while, even though they dummy up the numbers, even though the consumer price index is as phony as a $3 Federal Reserve note, every once in a while, they will come out with a statistic that if you were to run it through your own computer, then, you know, as opposed to Katie Couric, who says consumer prices for the month of February were up higher than economists expected by 0.4%. You see, you're driving your rig down the road, and 0.4% is, you know, remembering back to ninth grade arithmetic, taint much. But you see that 0.4%, 0.7%, or 0.8% is for the month. And when you extrapolate it out for the year, the inflation rate annually is running 9.6%, kids. And that's what the bastards are reporting to you. That's what they admit to. You got that? That's what Magumbo is trying to point out to you. That even though they are lying to you and understating the truth, every once in a while, a little extra truth slips out that ought to scare the living hell out of you. All right, so now that we got that under control, let me bring that back into perspective. You see, the money supply is what tells us what the inflation rate is going to be over the next 18 to 36 months. So when we find that the Fed in the M3 is putting out 10, 11, and 12% more money every month, it tells us that we're going to have inflation out here in about 18 to 36 months of 10, 11, or 12%. That's what that tells us. That's the historic norm. That's the way it's always been in the past. And it's the reason that we believe that it's probably going to be that way in the future. A 90% chance of rain tomorrow, kids, means you're probably going to be wise taking an umbrella with you. And while it's true that it might not rain where you are, that umbrella would not be a bad idea. All right. Now, if we take our famous Sharp EL-1197 and we take 0.4 × 12, just to take 4 times 12, that's 4.8. Okay, is that right? 12 times 0.4. Yeah, that's 4.8% inflation. If we double that, it's 9.6. Now, kids, when inflation gets up, you know, over 3%, I mean, it's horrid. When it's 4-5%, I mean, it's wiping you out. When we're talking about 9.8%, I mean, that's like the Catholic priests. That's the Catholic Church in Boston says, we admit that 1/3 of our priests are pedophiles or sodomites or both. They're understating the case. We know it's more than that, but my God, can you imagine 1/3 of your priesthood being sodomites and pedophiles? I mean, that's unheard of. That's preposterous. It's insane, isn't it? I mean, I can understand, you know, I can understand a bunch of plumbers and carpenters and lowlifes and truck drivers, you know, but priests, religious guys with letters after their names? Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess that's what you could expect, you know, from Christians, huh? All right, well, that's what you can expect from government. The government lies to you constantly. And when you get a newsletter writer like Magumbo comes along and says, this is horrifying, it's beyond horrifying. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to you financially over the next 18 to 36 months? Boys and girls, here in America, we've never seen hyperinflation before. We haven't had that. We had interest rates of 21% back in 1980. Do you remember that? You know, some of you aren't even old enough to remember 1980. I just thought I'd share that with you. I lived through that period of time. Hell, we thought the end of the world was coming. Boys and girls, we ain't seen nothing yet. We're staring hyperinflation right in the eyeballs. and it's going to wipe us out. Well, it's not going to wipe everybody out, but it's going to wipe out most of us. And that's going to affect you and your job, you know, it's going to affect me. In my school, it's going to affect all of us. It's going to affect everybody around the world. What we're leading up to here is what we read in the Bible as being the Great Tribulation. I mean, this is getting to be scary stuff. Scary stuff. So, as a reporter, I know I like to come along and say, well, why don't you get this right from the horse's mouth? Why don't you get on the Kitco webpage and go download some of these news reports, some of these economists. And this guy Dottie, now he's no lightweight. I was talking to Frank, the gold broker, the other day. He said, I did a little research on this guy Dottie to find out, you know, who he is and where he came from and, you know, what's he trying to sell. And, we don't know exactly, but he publishes something or has something to do with the Daily Reckoning. It's right here at the top of the page, www.dailyreckoning.com. And his thrust, his focus is on inflation. So if you want an inflation report, I can't give you a better source of inflation reporting than the Mogambo. Now he might also be selling a newsletter called the Daily Reckoning. I don't know. I don't subscribe to that. But I like to get, it's on Wednesday. Every Wednesday the Mogambo report comes out. And then my wife gets her copy and I get my copy and then we go our separate ways and then we come back and we look at each other over the kitchen table and she says, did you read Mogambo? And I say, yes, I read Mogambo. I said, I will say to my wife, how's your pulse? And she'll say, it's racing. And then I say, have you taken your vitamin C today? How are you feeling? You know, kind of like she's pregnant and about ready to pop. And, you know, we kind of stare at each other in total disbelief because, you know, from our perspective in life, we're old people. We have never seen numbers like these before, children. These numbers we experienced in 1958 when we went through that recession. And we went through this in the 1970s when we went through the 70s recession of 75, 76, 77. And the recession and the monetary inflation of 1979 and 80. I mean, you know, kids, we've been through this before in 54. And it kind of scares us because we see the unemployment and we see the numbers that come out of this and we see the economic stagnation and stagflation. And while it is true that a lot of people make a lot of money on other people's misery, I hate to make a lot of money off of your misery, but I'm going to do it because you're not smart enough to protect yourself. So that's what I'm trying to do is to jog you a little bit here and tell you the recession, children, is underway. It has been for 18 months. Now, we haven't recognized it yet because the government has not fully encompassed it and said, okay, we're in an official recession. I'm just here to tell you that it's maybe unofficial, but it's here. And of course, you're still out buying and you're still out selling and trading and running up more money on your credit cards when you should be paying those credit cards off and you need to be getting ready for some really bad news. If you think this is bad, you ain't heard the bad news yet. It's getting worse when this hyperinflation comes in. Listen to this. He says from the John Williams Shadow Government Statistics site, we read that even these terrible inflation numbers are far too low as the net of methodology gimmicks that have been used in recent decades to dampen the reporting of inflation. February's pre-Clinton CPI annual inflation based on 1990 methodology was 5.7%, while the SGS alternative consumer price measure based on 1980 methodology was 10%. All right, now what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that the numbers that they are reporting to us are lies. The numbers that they are reporting to us when we extrapolate them out show us that the inflation rate is 10% on the low end. That's what they're admitting to. Inflation is 10% at the low end. That's what the Department of Labor CPI numbers are really telling us. Boys and girls, we haven't seen numbers like those before. Now, those are scary statistics. And those are numbers that go back, you know, in time. And in some cases, it's unprecedented. Unprecedented means there's never been a time when we've ever seen that before. We haven't seen that before. Now, if you're thinking about spring break and laying the neighbor girl in the back of your Chevy van down in Daytona Beach, you boys out there in college, I would suggest that you sober up. You know, it's time to sober up here, kids, and wake up to reality. It's bad now, and it's going to get a whole lot worse, and you need to make some kind of preparation for it. Now, of course, you know, there's most people out there, they're not going to do that, and I'm not here to tell you how to live your lifestyle. I just wanted to send you a signal and say, hey, the economy isn't growing. The economy isn't good. The economy is not vibrant. The economy is not strong. It is sick, anemic, puny, and it is about to collapse. Now, how's that going to play out? I don't know. We've never been here before. We don't know how this is going to play out. We're all scared. We all see that this is bad and getting worse. And the president says, hey, well, what do you want the president to do? Come out in his next news conference and say, well, I've been lying to you over the last 5 years. To stretch this thing out, let me tell you where the real numbers are. Boy, these are scary numbers. What do you think that's going to do to the stock market? Alan Greenspan uses the word recession in a speech, and the market goes down $2 trillion. That's how bad it scares all the investors out there that are sitting around wondering, biting their fingernails, wondering what's going to happen next. Well, how do you think that's going to affect all of us truck drivers and all of us plumbers out here? Don't you think we're going to be affected too? Hey, listen, you know, if you've been out here building houses and you've been making your living in the housing sector, and now you find out that the subprime lending market is collapsing day by day, they're changing the rules, fewer houses are being bought, more houses are being put on the market, prices are dropping, housing starts are declining. What do you think your prospects are for work for the rest of the year, next year, and the year after? What do you think, Tom? You know, that's kind of what they call a no-brainer, isn't it? Well, Jim Willie of the Hat Trick Letter figures that one must add 7% to the official CPI to enter the world of reality, and that this means that the actual growth for the U.S. economy is near minus 1.4%. That's a recession, having entered positive ground only briefly in the last 6 years. Doug Nolan of the Credit Bubble Bulletin at PrudentBear.com computes the CPI as now 2.4% year over year, with core CPI at 2.7 year over year increase, making 9 straight months above 2.5%. Most of the increases in the inflation index, as if this makes it all okay, is that fruits and vegetables had a whopping 4.7% increase, and Bloomberg.com thinks that it was rising fuel, food, and medical costs that pushed U.S. inflation costs higher last month. Kids, 4.7% in 1 month. 4.7 times 12 equals 56.4%. And that's what we're talking about in fruits, vegetables, and medical costs. Fruits, vegetables, fuel, and medical costs. Let me put fuel in there. Have you been watching gasoline go up? You know, when the president was trying to buy your vote back last November, they drove the price of gasoline down to below $2 a gallon. It was about $1.99 or $1.96 for a few days or a week or so at around November of 2006. Now, here we are. Now, watch this. About 6 months later. Five, 6 months later. And the price of gas the other day when I went to town is $2.45. Okay, let's figure out what that is. Let's just raise it 45 cents over $2. And so we take 45, divide that by $2. It's an 18% increase over the past 6 months. 18%. Now, of course, 18% in 6 months doesn't mean that the inflation is running at 18%. It means that fuel went up by 18%. Now, take medical costs. That went up 10 or 15 or 20%. And then you take fruits and vegetables. You saw what happened to the orange crop out there in California. So that jacks the prices up 10, 15%. Now, if they were reporting to us the truth, they would take rents, they would take house prices, they would take everything, and they would average it out. They don't. They use this hedonic program, and they take certain things, and they average those in, and then they take certain things and they leave them out. They say, well, those are seasonal. You know, gasoline prices traditionally or historically go up in the summertime. That's true. They do. But shouldn't we seasonally adjust those increases? Since the year 2000, can you remember what gasoline prices were in 2000? They were around $1.10 a gallon here where I'm at. Now they're $2.45. Over the past 6 years, what has inflation done to the price of gasoline? Can you see that? That's 1.10 divided by 2.45. Now, isn't that up 44%? Hey, kids, inflation and prices are going up, but your wages aren't going up. And that's the important thing to keep in mind, that your wages have not gone up, adjusted for inflation now, since 1973. And you're losing ground. Now, I'm not blaming Republicans. I'm not here to say, well, see, now that's the Republicans for you. So let's vote for the Democrats. Hell, the Democrats are the ones that invented this inflation nightmare with the New Deal back in 1933. My point is the Republicans didn't do anything to stop it. They just jumped on the bandwagon and said, me too, and let's keep it up. And so now we've got a Republican administration. And the Republican administration over here is inflating the economy as fast as they can to keep the thing from collapsing, which is inevitable. And that's what the report this week is all about. It's the R word. How bad is it going to get? Well, in 1979, they pulled the fat out of the fire. And they staved it off one more time. And then in 2000, they put out the fire and they staved it off for another 7 years. But children, at some point in time, we're not going to be able to stave it off. Is this that time? I don't know. I'm not a prophet and I'm not going to say that they can't pull the fat out of the fire one more time like they did in 79 and 2000. But one of these days, it's going to fail just like it did in 1929. And when it does, it's going to be real bad, kids. Or as my old daddy used to say, you know, it's going to hurt real bad, son. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's kind of biblical, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. All right, that's the Magambo Guru. Remember, Kitco.com. It's an easy one. Kitco.com. And remember, the International Forecaster is at theinternationalforecaster.com. Hey, I'm about out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there. We'll be back with the finale tomorrow night. So let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, and we're heard daily. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. So if you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.